It was just one question, but so well placed that it caused a billion-dollar company with global operations to reverse the decision they had made on their next CEO. Hey, welcome to On My Walk, the reading podcast that helps you capture reading's aha moments and apply them to your life and leadership. Ram Charan's Owning Up is like every book of his I've read, and five now, and I'll probably read one more before the year's end. It's an educational journey. It's an exercise in sitting under the tutelage of a business Yoda. In Owning Up, Dr. Charan wants us to understand the vast wealth, insight, wisdom, and business savvy that good board directors bring to any organization. So he writes this book to help boards function more effectively, and so companies will utilize their expertise more skillfully. Now, my board experiences with churches and an educational organization, and Charan's focus is corporate boards. But so much of what he says has direct application across a variety of board settings. I'd encourage you to get it. It is exceptional. So that's the larger context. Near the end of the book, he's addressing how boards can work more effectively with shareholders turned activists. And in the process, he relays the words and story of Ralph Whitworth, who ran an investment management firm prior to his death from cancer in 2016. And Whitworth was describing the positive impact that even one or two board members can have in a kind of volatile situation. Now listen to what he says about what happened when he asked one very important question.
A very good example of this, Whitworth said, was when I went on the Tektronix board. A few days before I joined the board, they announced that their CEO, Jerry Meyer, was going to retire and stay on his chair for a year, and they would make the CFO the new CEO. We had a board dinner the night before my first board meeting, and everyone was getting along well. I asked the board member next to me in the course of getting to know him, out of curiosity, why did you guys choose the CFO instead of the company's president for the CEO position? He said, you know, that's a good question. We spent some time on it, but I'm not sure we looked at it from that angle. So he turned to the guy to his left and engaged him with the same question. He, too, thought for a moment and said he wasn't sure precisely why. Well, we know the CFO well, and we're sure he'll do a good job, he said, but we didn't talk that much about alternatives. I then explained, the reason I ask is because I think the CFO is going to be very important for the next 6 months because they were going to go through some transactions that we had been advocating. But after that, the person who's the president is really going to be a central player in a very critical role here. Pretty soon, the discussion spread to the whole table. I didn't go into the meeting planning to change this. It wasn't like the CFO was a poor choice. But as a result of that dinner, we decided as a board to reverse that decision. It was an awkward step for the company, of course, but the board came to a consensus that it would be beneficial to change course. That one question, posed in the spirit of congeniality but coming from a completely different point of view, had a huge positive impact.
Wow. Talk about the incredible positive impact of just one well-placed question. Now, we know his context is board meetings, but hey, this relates to employees on the shop floor, to spouses discussing a key move, to parents engaging their children, to church members collaborating on a ministry they're doing for God. So the question I'm asking is, what needs to happen for you and for me to ask the kind of question that causes people to think, hey, you've got something there. I need to rethink this. And when I reflect back on what Charan says, I'm seeing four things. Number one, if I'm going to ask these kinds of questions, I've got to be all in. Whitworth was paying close attention. And when I say I've got to be all in, I mean I need to dial into my assignment. I need to listen closely, think carefully, weigh the alternatives. I can't be sitting in a meeting, giving the appearance of listening, and at the same time, actually texting underneath the table. It doesn't work too well. Number two, I've got to be willing to take a risk. You know, when the conversation momentum is moving in one direction, and you or I ask a question that causes that momentum to kind of go, and slow down, some people may not like it. The pressure to go along, to get along, may make us want to keep silent, nod our heads, and just give the verbal rubber stamp. We cannot do that. We cannot do that. Number three, I've got to offer my competing question in a congenial way. That's what Whitworth did. Here's what he said. Out of curiosity, why did you guys choose the CFO instead of the company's president for the CEO position? He wasn't antagonistic. He was just curious. And when we offer questions in that way, then people receive them in that way. They don't take it as an offense. They take it for what it is. Number four, I've got to care more about the company, its cause, its mission, its organization, than my reputation, or in this case, the individual, i.e. the newly named but short-lived CEO who would get the bump because of the conversation that ensued. So my aha moment was the incredible impact and the absolute importance of one well-placed question. Hey, that's my thought on my walk. And as always, my question is, what are you going to do with that thought on your walk through life today?